We presently are reading the book of Jeremiah, and we're reading things that are very awesome, very ominous, very unhappy, but so be it. These are the words of God, and they are just as important in the book of Jeremiah as they are in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or Romans or Philippians or any other part of the Bible. They are the word of God. So pray with me that as we teach on this program, that it may be a faithful teaching that identifies only with the word of God. Now we got down to Jeremiah chapter 6, and that first verse we're looking at, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a fire, a sign of fire in Beth Hakkerem, for evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. And blow the trumpet in Tekoa. And when we search the Bible for the meaning of the word Tekoa, we found that there is a very, very definite passage that very definitely relates, and that is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And there we found that strange and wonderful account of the armies of Judah surrounded by the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And at the time that Jehoshaphat was the king. Let's go down to verse 15. And God through the prophet Jehaziel said, Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then we read in verse 21, When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the people, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They began to sing and to praise, and the Lord, now the Lord takes over, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And so now we have to ask the question, how does this whole passage of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 relate to Jeremiah 6, which in turn relates to the days in which we are living? We do know that Judah here represents the true believers. They are all those who have put their trust altogether in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are occupants of Jerusalem. That is, that we have been members of the local congregations throughout the church age. Now comes a huge army to try to destroy the true believers. No, it's not a literal physical army that begins to show up out there someplace. It is all those who are not saved, who are still under the authority of Satan, and who do not want the true gospel. And so they're out to begin to assault the true believers. And literally, as we go through the rest of the Bible, as well as we see it in practice in our day, because we are at that time in history, we see that they are able to drive out the true believers. We see that the true believers are commanded to come out, and it looks like the armies of Satan have won. Let's be very, very pragmatic about this. I've been a member of the congregation, let's say, for years and years and years. Isn't there something I can do? Something I can do to protect what I have had such a part in? And God is saying, no. No, it's not your battle. It's my battle. Remember what we read? up here in Second Chronicles 20. He said that that the battle is in verse 15. For the battle is not yours, but God's. What do? We meekly fold our tents and go out of Jerusalem to the wilderness of Tekoa. Where's Tekoa? Outside of Jerusalem. And there we're going to see the victory of God. God will take care of the whole matter. He will bring judgment. Yes, yes, this army is, Satan with all of his forces, that is with all the unsaved within the congregation who still think they're serving Christ, and with all the agreement between various congregations, so they really feel that they're strong and nobody can overcome them. God will bring the victory. God will bring judgment upon them. God is in charge. And we are simply to be in the wilderness of Tekoa doing what? Watching. But we're to be singing and praising God and thanking Him for His mercy. In other words, this is a very unique way in which God is emphasizing that our position as we have left our churches and as we are being assaulted by those who revile us and slander us and don't understand at all, we're not to worry about that. We're not to think judgmentally against these individuals. We are not to be concerned, really. This is God's battle. God is in charge. We will simply wait upon the Lord and watch and watch. Now, I'm not sure that I'm making all the exactly proper spiritual connections here, but this is in general what I see here in this passage, because God definitely has brought us to the wilderness of Tekoa when we were looking at Jeremiah chapter 6. He has brought us here, and so we have to look at that. Now notice how God brings the victory. We find that Mount Seir, that is the Edomites, begin to fight with the Ammonites and the Moabites. And so there's a lot of destruction there. And then after the Edomites have been destroyed by the Ammonites and the Moabites, then the Ammonites fight with the Moabites. And the end product is they're all dead. They're all killed. And nobody from the outside had to raise a finger. And that is exactly what is happening in churches today. They are destroying each other. They are locking in tighter and tighter in many instances. I hope there are exceptions. It's too early to tell how many exceptions there may be. But in general, what is happening is one church assures another church, no, we're right. We have it right. And then they begin to, without the help of the Holy Spirit, because God is not operating there any longer, they're thinking, and you know, we got to come up with a new plan to increase our membership and get more financial strength so we can go on and do some other things that we would like to do within this congregation. And so they come, one congregation comes up with a crazy plan of some kind in order to add to the membership. Then the other congregations copy that plan, and then another congregation over there comes up with still another plan, and the other congregations like that, and they copy that plan, and together they go down. Together they become more and more rebellious against God. More and more they reassure themselves that what they are doing is God pleasing, because it appears to be working. They are increasing their membership and holding on to their membership to a high degree, but in fact they are simply encouraging each other to ruin, to destruction. And the final end of it is that Christ comes on the last day and brings that judgment, and we had nothing to do with it. We don't have to look at those who are left in the congregations and who despise us if we have come out, who slander us, who revile us. We must never look upon them as enemies. We are still to love them. We are to still want the highest good for them. We are to remember they don't understand. God has not opened their spiritual eyes. They are in an enormously dangerous place. There is self-destruction that is going on at a very, very rapid rate. It is not getting better at all, anywhere, in any congregation. There is self-destruction going on. And if we throw into this discussion, the parable of the wheat and the tares, you know, the tares have been gathered together and they are bound, being prepared for the fire. And that is a totally different way of speaking about this same thing, but that is the essence of it, that God is destroying them. That is, they are destroying themselves as they are in complete rebellion against God. So that just gives us a thumbnail sketch of what we are reading here. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, blow the trumpet in Tekoa. God is reminding us we have to get out of Jerusalem. We have to stand and see the salvation of God. We have to see God work out His plan in this day. We just stand and watch, and we sing praises to God. We are praising Him for His mercy, because His mercy, look what He allowed us to get out safely. He has opened our eyes so we see the truth. Well, then we go on to the next phrase. It says, blow the trumpet in Tekoa, set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakkerem, for evil approacheth out of the north, and great destruction. All right, now, what is this Beth Hakkerem? We better see if we can, in this case, we can determine what that word means. Beth is house, and Karem is vineyard. And so what God is saying here, set up a fire in the house of the vineyard. And immediately we know where we're going. Because remember, we went through Isaiah 5 at another time very, very carefully, and we saw that God typifies the New Testament church, the local congregations, as a vineyard. A vineyard that had been designed by God, carefully prepared by God to bring great fruit, and yet it began to bring forth a stench, bad grapes. And then we read that God finally destroyed that vineyard, as we looked at Isaiah chapter 5 very carefully, and we saw that without a question, that vineyard had to do with the local congregations that have come under the judgment of God at this time. And so God is again tying back into another part of the Bible, in this case Isaiah 5, to tell us that these passages identify with each other. He's saying, set up a sign of fire. Now fire, remember, always has to do with judgment. Judgment has come. Go back to Isaiah 5 for just a moment to review this for a moment. And we read in verse 2, in the last part, I also made a vineyard, or a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And we saw when we studied that at another time, it brought forth a stench. That is, they were awful grapes. And then God asks the question, in verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth a stench. and now go to. I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. And here we comes the judgment. Set up a fire in the house of the vineyard, to use the language of Jeremiah 6. I will lay it waste, or I will take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up. Break down the wall thereof, it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So that is what God is referring to as he is speaking in Jeremiah 6, verse 1, that set up a sign of fire, that is, set up the flag of the kingdom of God. That sign has to do with the emblem or the fact that Christ has come or is coming as judge. And he's utilizing, of course, the wicked of the world. Remember, Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir are destroying themselves. And that's because Satan is ruling there, and he is very self-destructive. It's totally self-destruction. And they are being, it's another way of saying that they are being prepared for the fire, for the judgment throne, and to be cast into hell. It doesn't mean that the churches are disappearing, the local congregations. It doesn't mean that we're seeing literally dead bodies lying all over, but it means that they are being cut off from God even more and more, and are being blinded. A strong delusion has come upon them, and so they're like blind men walking around trying to find the door, and there is no door for them to find, because God is bringing judgment. The fire, the judgment of God, has come upon the house of the vineyard. Another figure of speech: for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. There's not anything particularly significant in the phrase out of the north. God uses that, we found, in talking not only about the judgment that comes upon the local congregations as God is preparing the final judgment, but God also uses that, and in that instance, God is utilizing the wicked of the world, the wicked within the congregations, those who are under the authority of Satan, headed up by Satan, as he comes as a figure of the king of Babylon. But God also uses the phrase, destruction cometh from the north, when he is speaking about God coming to destroy the world on the last day, when Christ comes with the armies of heaven. So that phrase, destruction cometh out of the, or evil appeareth out of the north, is a phrase that simply indicates Christ is coming in judgment. Now, one fact that begins to impress upon my mind more and more, and that is, we always talk about someday there is the judgment throne. Someday there is a judgment day. And what we have to begin to realize, we're already in judgment. The judgment has already begun. It's not way off in the wild blue yonder. It's not sometime. Judgment is already happening. It is happening within the local congregations. Now, it doesn't mean that we see the effect or the final impact of that judgment. We don't see a judgment throne at this time, but we do see implications of that, because as God binding the tares within the local congregation, as he is sending a strong delusion upon them, it's because Christ has come in as the judge, and they're already on trial in a real sense. All right, now go back to Jeremiah 6. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. Then in verse 2, of Jeremiah 6, we have a different kind of language. And it's again, we puzzle. We think, what is God speaking about? I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate. And you notice the word woman is italicized, so that is not even in the original Hebrew. We could say, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and someone who is very delicate. And we wonder, what does that have to do with anything? Why does that fit into this passage? Well, the Hebrew word for delicate here is found in a couple of other places as the word delicate, and it can also mean, when it's a verb, that it is the word delightful. Delightful. But the word is used in a very similar fashion. We want to look at that. There are three places we'll look at. One is in Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah 47. And in Isaiah 47, verse 1, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Now notice the similarity. Tender and delicate. The word delicate is the identical word. Comely and tender are very similar. It's a word that identifies with someone who is beautiful, who is delightful, who is precious, who is to be highly regarded. It is that kind of a setting that God is emphasizing. And God is using that word to illustrate those who are part of the local congregation, because when we become a part, even corporately speaking or externally speaking, a part of the kingdom of God, we are especially beautiful because we have become identified to some degree with the Word of God. And because we have taken a position in the temple, even though if we're not saved, we're wood, hay, and stubble rather than precious stones. But remember, in the temple, there is virtually no way to distinguish between the true believers and the non-believers. So we all look like precious stones in the temple. We all look like we're very delicate, beautiful people. And now God is speaking in Isaiah 47 that this beautiful people are called the daughter of the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans is a synonym for Babylonians. Why does he say that? Because Israel, or the church age, has become under the authority of Satan. It is now Babylon. And so those who remain in the local congregations, they had been called beautiful, they had been called delicate and tender, comely, and now they are to sit on the ground. There is no throne. Now we have to be careful with that phrase, no throne. There is Satan is seated there, but what do they think is seated there? Who do they think they are worshiping? These delicate people who remain in the local congregations. They think that they're worshiping Christ, but there is no throne of Christ there anymore. It is the throne of Satan who is ruling there. He has taken his seat there. And so and those who are in are sitting in the dust. They are those who have been vanquished. All right, now that's as far as we can go with this. We're going to pick up on this verse about this matter of delicate in our next study. And then we'll go on. Let me see. Where does this take us? The next verse is not a particularly easy verse to understand either. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. What in the world is God talking about in that verse? And that's, you know, sometimes as I study the Bible and teach the Bible, I say, oh, I wish I could just pass over that verse, because why bother? But I know, no, I can't do that. At least we have to work at it, and maybe the Lord will open our spiritual eyes, and we'll get at least some of the truth that is within it.